How can we grow in the Spirit? How can we allow the Spirit to flow through us? And we want to make sure that our roots are sinking into the soil of Christ and in His life, and that we are allowing our fruit to be exposed to the Son of God in our life. Someone says, how does an apple grow? It hangs out in the sun. And so whenever we as believers hang out in the presence of the Son of God, it helps our fruit to grow. Well, we've been talking about some fruits that seem to be a little more abstract: love, joy, peace. But today we come to the nitty-gritty. How do we have patience? Now we're at the midst of coming to a fruit of the Spirit that we all need, and none of us are probably as good at as we want to be. I came across a few illustrations for you, so let's look at some of these particular illustrations, and maybe you can identify with some of these that are up there. Instead of a dog that we saw earlier on, how about some kitty cats that says, patience, little one. First, we lure them in with our cuteness. Then we rule the world. Mwah! That's definitely a cat's mentality, isn't it? Or how about the minions who say, I wish I could lose weight as easily as I lose my patience. Wouldn't that be nice? That would be really good. Or the next minion says, Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I'll need bail money too. Or Foghorn Leghorn and Sylvester, boy, I say boy, you're about to exceed the limitations of my medication. And then maybe you grew up and had to see those particular cubes that you were supposed to place in the right order and the right color, you know, those Rubik's cubes that I could never do, and some people can do them quickly. And so this person just decided to paint each side. That's what we do with patience. But mainly God tells us, though, that He is never late and never early. He is on time. And when we learn to live in a sense of patience, we can learn to live in faith and trust, and we can find out that that wait is worth it. I came across a couple of cute stories. Jan was 2.5, and she was banging her spoon on her little high chair table, and she was screaming at the entire top of her lungs, demanding dessert. She wanted ice cream. Annoyed by the noise, the mother ran downstairs to go fetch some ice cream from the freezer. About the time that she was going downstairs, she yelled back to her daughter, have a little patience! She comes back up from the basement with her ice cream, and her little 2.5-year-old is sitting in the chair. She is now rigid, eyes fixed ahead, fist clenched, and not breathing. Her mother quickly drops the ice cream, runs over to her little girl and says, what's going on? Mama, I'm trying to have patience. Patience is hard for children. Patience is hard for adults. And patience is hard for us all. But yet, as we stay connected to the Spirit in our life, we might can be more patient people. A little boy was on a road trip with his mother, and if you've ever taken children on a trip, you know their incessant demands of, are we there yet? A 4.5-year-old little boy was traveling with his mother, and they were on the way, and he kept asking, Mama, are we there yet? No, not there yet. Mama, are we there yet? No. We have 90 more miles to go, son. Do not ask me anymore until we arrive. The boy sat silently in the back, thinking that he would be silent. He no longer could remain silent, and he says, Mama, will I still be 4 whenever we arrive? Pretty smart kid, wasn't he? Well, let's delve into God's Word and see what it might have to say to us about patience in our life and how we might exemplify that fruit of the Spirit in us. And so we'll be looking a little bit at the qualities that we see in God, the qualities that we see in His Son, and then also the qualities that we need in our life as a Christ follower. One of the original meanings of the word in the Bible, and there are several different words that are used, but one of them comes from a word that if we split it up, it's two words put together. Macro, meaning large or long or big view. And then thumos, I hear the word thermos in there. And so macro and thumos put together come up with the meaning of someone who is long in their view of things, or someone who is able to move slowly rather than rapidly. And thumos has to come up with angry and heat. And so if we were to look at one of the words of the Bible, we would have to see that this idea of the word patience has to do with having long temperament, long fuse. You and I know too many people who have a short fuse in life, whose fuse seems to be very quick to ignite. But there's nuances in the Bible of other words that we run across in the Bible that give us an idea of what patience might be. Some of the other translations of those particular words have to be words like endure and endurance. Some of the words have to do with long suffering. In other words, that long view, you're willing to patiently wait in long suffering. Perseverance or persevere. We heard that in the passage of James, that when we persevere in our patience, to forbear or forbearance is another word. All of these words here kind of give us a shape and a flavor of what patience means in Scripture, and oftentimes it's translated different ways, so we need to look at all of these words and how they might fit into our life that we might exemplify the fruit of the Spirit more. And mothers, maybe this is the message for you, that you are generally people who exemplify for us who are children a sense of patience, of long view, of endurance, of bearing with us whenever we're not what you want us to be. And so as we look at this, there are two things, though, that we see the fruit of the Spirit does. It, in patience, really means that we're able to redemptively wait. God, in His process from Genesis to Revelation and where we are in history, God is taking a long view of redemptive waiting. The Bible tells us that He holds off on His judgment because He's hoping that His time given us will give us the opportunity to learn to be right with Him. So we're looking at redemptive waiting. And then patience also gives us a sense of relational space. We've talked quite a bit in here about space, making space for God. And in our time of meditation earlier, we were told to be silent and have solitude. We made space, a little bit of breath, so that God might speak to us. But even in relationships with one another, we need to have patience so that we give relational space to each other. We're a classroom of kids, and the teacher had brought to class that day in a little carrying cage, a rabbit. Oh, this was a young class, and as the teacher set the box down on the floor, all the kids gathered right around that cage, and the teacher opened the door, and the rabbit did not come out. All the kids were so close up together, I mean, it was scared to death. So the teacher said, "Y'all back up a little bit and sit quietly and patiently, and let's see what the rabbit does." Well, after some time, after the rabbit sees that the noise is no longer quite as much as it was, and there's not this crowd right around it, the rabbit comes out. And as the kids remain patient with each other and with the rabbit, which was hard to do, the rabbit begins to move around in the room. There are relationships in our life that unless we create relational space, if we crowd in too much, if we try to make them do what we want them to do and not give them relational space, they are pushed away too. And so we'll see this today in Scripture as we begin to look at what God is doing in us. Patience has an ability to endure a long time. Patience is long in perseverance. It's the ability to put up with the weaknesses and the foibles of others around us. It shows forbearance with each other. I remember listening to a sermon that I was given a few years ago, and Jeremy referred to people who are high EGRs. That meant extra grace required. All of us are high EGRs in some ways. And so each of us have to show this biblical sense of patience, this relational space, this redemptive waiting, so that we become the people God intends us to be. So let's look at God first, and let's look at His redemptive waiting as well as His relational space in the way that it comes across in two of the words that we've talked about. First of all, we see God is long-suffering. And the word for that means he is slow to anger. I think in your handout, I printed a couple of these for you in Exodus. As Moses wants to see the glory of God, and he passes by in front of Moses and proclaims, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. There in the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, the first five books, God is shown as someone who is long-suffering, slow to anger, someone who is patient. The book of Jonah represents our prophets. The prophets, even like Jeremiah, waited a long time proclaiming God's word, hoping that the people would return to God, and often not the case. But Jonah is given the task of going to a foreign city and proclaiming the love and graciousness of God, the long-suffering of God to a people who were wicked. And yet God moves. Listen to what happens in Jonah's life. In Jonah chapter 3, verses 10, and then right into chapter 4, it says, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he threatened. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents at sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.' But the Lord replied, 'Have you any right to be angry?'" Jonah wanted God to bring judgment on the Ninevites, the Assyrians. Jonah, burning in anger, God long in not being angry, and yet presents to those people an opportunity to return to him. He is patient, long-suffering, compassionate. So in the prophets, God is patient. The psalmist in Psalm 103 would write the same words that we heard in Exodus. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever." God is long-suffering. God is patient with us. But God is also forbearing. He bears with us. Another word for patience is his carrying the load, bearing with us in the midst of our life, forgiving, carrying our sins that we find even in Jesus. And we see here in these particular passage where God's kindness toward us is to lead us to repentance. In Romans chapter 2, "For his kindness and patience were put upon us to lead us there." In Micah, "He forgives and pardons sins. He carries the transgressions." In Hosea, here's a picture of a parent and a child, a mother or father who loves their child. "When Israel was a child, I loved you. And out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more I called to Israel, the further they went away from me. They sacrificed to the Baals and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught them to walk, Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and I bent down and fed them." Hosea gives us a beautiful picture of the patience of God in the long view of things, of how God is forbearing with us, long-suffering, slow to anger, but forbearing in the sense of caring and bearing with us. A young father became noticeably more patient in his life after the birth of his little girl. But the little girl had severe mental disabilities, and the doctors told her, "This girl would only be with you a short time." But for those 6 years, this dad, as he suffered with his daughter, as he bore with her, as he suffered long, he noticeably became more patient with others. He also became more loving as he lived with her. And this little girl worked her way into the dad's heart to show him what it meant to be forbearing, to be long-suffering, to be patient. While he didn't notice what was happening in him, others around him began to notice that the qualities of his life were changing. That is what we need to do too. In the life of Jesus, we see the example of the Father's patience also borne out. In the life of Jesus, we see that he carries our sins, that he suffers for you. And this word for patience also means not to retaliate, not to fight back. Jesus demonstrates in his own life this redemptive waiting. In 1 Timothy, Paul is the one who was changed on the Damascus Road, who writes about himself and says, God's perfect patience was exemplified in me, the worst of sinners. So no matter how bad you think you are, Paul recognizes himself as the one who is the worst. Hebrews gives us a clear picture of Jesus, who says to us that we're to fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross patiently, enduring the pain and the shame, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, with the disciples, was patient. In John's gospel, toward the end of his ministry, he shows the full extent of his love as he washes their feet, as he prepares the Lord's Supper. Jesus, patient with Peter, always opening his mouth, inserting his foot. Jesus, patient with Thomas, doubting along the way. Jesus, patient with others. Patient with all who would come to him because he walks with us and suffers alongside of us and gives us not only redemptive waiting, but relational space. And so we too can follow the patience of Jesus. But really, this is a sermon for us, a message for us to learn how we might move in and follow Christ. So let's look at what it means for us as followers of Christ to show this same redemptive waiting, to show this same relational space one to another. As Christ followers, the Bible is pretty clear that we're to exemplify the traits of our Father, that we are kin to Jesus who comes in the form of the Spirit, who produces the fruit of the Spirit in us and through us. Here we are to be people who can demonstrate these things. So let's look at a passage of Scripture that I think I put for you in your handout. The passage of Peter was in there, where Peter tells us that we will suffer, but we are to follow Christ's example. This is the same verse where it talks about in his steps. And because Christ had suffered and shown patience, we too can show patience in the midst of persecution, not fighting back, but showing the fruit of the Spirit in the life. We should realize that patience is going to be required in this world that we live in. We should not be surprised by the suffering that is around us. We should not retaliate by those who come against us. And we should not quit on the journey of faith that we're on. God is patient with us and works into us as we sit in His Son, as we have silence and solitude, the patience that we need. And others in our life, just like the little girl who worked into the dad's life, as we rub life against each other, we can learn to become more patient with each other. Patience for us is learning to be completely humble and gentle, according to Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, be complete, humble, and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. The forbearance, again, of creating that relational space, of allowing people to come out of their cages and their corners so that they might know God's redemptive love. Paul would write to the church at Colossae, and they should be patient also in how they live and of how they work. Let me read to you this particular passage. And when you pray in your life, lead a life worthy of the Lord. This is chapter 1, verses 10 and following. "And so that you please the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and you're being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, with great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints." God is working within us this patience and endurance, this forbearing and long-suffering, that we might walk together. And walking together, maybe we should be like rock climbers, those who are tethered together so that the rope keeps us connected to one another, and we only move as fast as the slowest one, not leaving a person behind. Tethered together so that we show endurance and patience, so that we demonstrate what it means to bear with each other. In Colossians 3:13, it says, "Bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you might have against one another." Long-suffering, forbearance, patience. These are the things that we need. So I have some questions for you and I today. Questions that might help us in our way of patience. In what ways has God been patient with you? Whenever you walked away from Him, whenever you pushed away and did your own thing, in what ways has God demonstrated His redemptive waiting to give you the space that you need until you can receive His grace and His goodness so that you can become more patient in life? And in what ways have others been patient with you? In what ways has your family been patient with you? I ran across a story of marriages where the person said, "I've been married 3 times to the same person." Now, they didn't get divorced and remarried. What they were saying is, as they grew through life, and as we change, they came away with 3 different stages of life, where as we changed, we stayed with the same thing. Showing patient endurance, showing long suffering, so that as we go through life, we are helping each other in what we do. Others have been patient with us to help maybe round off the rough edges. And then what do you need to do, and to whom do you need to create the relational space and demonstrate redemptive waiting in life? One person I was reading for came across and created this dichotomy of fasting as meaning to stay away from, like fasting from food, and feasting, like taking it all in, of how they related to patient. Let me just give you some of this. It said, "Fast, stay away from judging others. Feast on dwelling with them. Fast on emphasizing differences. Feast on what brings you together in unity. Fast from apparent darkness. Feast on the reality of light. Fast from thoughts of ill will. Feast on thoughts of healing and goodness. Fast from words that pollute. Feast on words that purify and build up. Fast on discontentment. Feast on gratitude. Fast from anger. Feast on patience. Fast from pessimism. Feast on optimism. Fast from bitterness. Feast on forgiveness. Fast from self-concern. Feast on compassion for others." I don't know about you, but the fruit of the spirit of patience is really where the road and the rubber, the wheel meets the road. And oftentimes I'm not near as patient as I need to be. But hopefully as I stay close to God, hopefully as I allow the fruit of the Spirit to continually be produced in me, and I allow you space in my life to rub off more rough edges around me, I can become more patient and more caring and more compassionate. And so today, as we leave this place in just a little bit, what do you need to do to allow God's good work of patience to be worked into you? Let's pray. Father, may you speak to those deep places of our life where we have not demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit. We have been sour and rotten. We have spoiled in so many ways, thinking that it's all about us. But Lord, would you work into us a sense of patience because you have been long-suffering with us. You have been forbearing with us. Lord, forgive us whenever we've been short with others, short with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us live redemptively. Let us live relationally. And Father, may you work into the lives of families, in the lives of each of us, a deep sense of patience and trust that you are still working your good work in us and through us. May we give you space and may we give you time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today, as we stand to sing our final song, it's always an opportunity for us to respond to God's goodness. And we, in our tradition, give people an opportunity to do that, an opportunity to come to faith in Christ. Maybe you've never stepped across the line of faith for the first time. Maybe you've never experienced God's goodness and grace. The Father wants you to know life and life abundantly. Or maybe it's that you're looking for a new church home. You're in the area or something else has happened and you're looking to connect. We want to be good fruit with you. We want to help each other walk in Christ and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit and learn how to be better at being part of God's family of faith. Or maybe you just need a place to pray, a quiet place to come and kneel, a place to pour out your heart. Or maybe it's just to stand there and pray. Whatever your need, you respond to God's Spirit as we all stand and as we sing.